Hello, everybody. We'll get started in just a moment. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining. Hi, Jill. Thanks for joining.
Hello.
We're just getting started, waiting for folks to dial in. We'll get started in just a moment. While we're waiting, is there someone who would be willing to do the attendance for today's meeting? If not, I can do it while Joe is talking. But if there is somebody who doesn't mind. Scott. Okay, thanks. Thanks. Scott is volunteering. Hey, Joanne.
Hi.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining. We're just waiting for folks to dial in. Dial to connect. Oh, goodness.
Showing your age there, Sharon.
I'm showing my age.
I'm taking it old school.
Waiting for people to dial in. Well, it's kind of cute. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get started before I get myself in more trouble with my comments. Let's see. Today, oh, we have Scott's going to do that. Thank you so much. So that's just our meeting schedule. We always like to ask, are there topics that you would like us to cover? Are there any reporting topics that you've been wondering about? There's quite a bit going on with reporting. We've got MetaDB changes. We've got the reporting app. There's the Lists app. There are all kinds of tools you can use for reporting. Are there things today we're going to be talking about the finance apps and some pieces of the Lists app that are to do with acquisitions. So, and Joe Reimers is here from EBSCO to cover that for us. So thank you so much. Any other topics that we should collect to bring to a future meeting? And I don't have the chat open. So let me get that open. Ah, oh, okay. Okay. Okay, not seeing anything in the chat. And let me share my screen. Okay. So today we're not going through impacts of new fields and features, but please do feel free to update that if you have any new fields or features that we should have on our radar for reporting. Next meeting, we're going to be talking about what is folio reporting, which is kind of a preview of what Scott and I will be covering for the WolfCon conference. We're going to be talking about all the different reporting tools there are and see if you have any feedback on what items to include. In August, we'd really like to focus on the reporting app. More institutions are deploying that in their environments, and so we'd like to see if we can get more information pulled together on that. So if you're interested in participating, say, in a panel discussion, or you would like to present on the reporting app, we'd love to hear from you. Any new members today? Well, welcome back, everybody. We're always looking for folks to help us. I think we do have a volunteer for the documentation working group job that we had out there. So that's good. We always have a need for query developers. And I'm going to jump into data privacy in a moment, but we are looking for members to join the data privacy subgroup that we're putting together to focus on the topics that we covered during our last meeting, which were data anonymization, permissions, the access to the data in MetaDB, in your MetaDB environment, and through Reporting App, just all things data privacy and permissions. So I do want to pop over to this. There's been some exciting stuff going on in Product Council. I don't know if Jen, if you would like to talk about this.
Sure.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Hello,
But
everyone. Jennifer Eustace, I am your Product Council liaison, and just a quick kind
there
of
we go.
introduction to what the Product Council is doing. This is all tied to the prioritization goal, meaning that working groups and SIGs really focus on their priorities, Jira issues, new features. I think acquisitions SIG was the first. Thank you, Dennis. Woo! There are many others that followed suite. This looks and so what's happening really is, the SIGs are really tracking new features and bugs much better to try and get them on the radar of not just POs but of course development teams to get them through the queue in a way that makes sense. So the Product Council wants to help with this, and so we created the community priorities dashboard with the top five priorities from each group. Now, granted, a lot of this is, well, pretty much all of it is not necessarily, but folio based. So you'll see, for example, in public library, a lot of these are Jira issues. Reporting does have Jira issues related to the folio reporting app. But everything in terms of the MetaDB is actually tracked using GitHub issues rather than Jira issues. So I think for this group, what we need to communicate to the Product Council is kind of what is the top priority? And I think we're going to have to translate that rather than just saying, here are our issues, and how does this relate to the Folio roadmap? Because all of these must fit in with Folio as a whole. Product Council is also working on kind of the vision of Folio, as well as, what is Folio in terms of a next generation library system platform. So we have all of that. And as you'll know, reporting is very much a core attribute of what it means to be a library systems platform. So I think I'm rambling now, but
I'm over here. You're preaching the choir because I'm over here going, yes. It's taken us a while to get to this place, but the prioritization is helping us as well. Mike Worrell has indicated that he'd like to work into the JIRAs. So he is working on that.
Oh,
So
that's great to
I don't
hear.
know that we're all always going to have this issues thing, but that's just
No,
where things are
okay.
currently tracked. And you can see we have a few more things that we could put down here.
Yeah, and we used to track things in Jira, and I think what I'd like to see is not just MetaDB but also the Folio reporting app, because those do have Jiras already.
Yeah, we can
And
get that in here.
yeah, it would be nice to, because a lot of what we hear in terms of reporting is, which I'm really excited about, what is reporting session for WolfCon is people don't know what's available to them. And some of this, yeah, some of this is, who's your vendor, that's hosting you. But that's a question that a lot of people have. So that might be helpful as well. Anyway, there you go.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jen. Any
Sure.
questions for our liaison to Product Council? Okay. Well, I'm very excited about this community priorities dashboard that's bringing, and we talked about at the meeting that the SIG conveners went to the bringing those priorities from the SIGs. And so I just think this is a great direction for things to go in. So thank you. All right. Just a quick note on the MetaDB data privacy subgroup. So during our last meeting on the 14th, we heard about data privacy, data anonymization, and we just did a panel discussion with perspectives from several different institutions. And we talked about access to MetaDB reporting databases using different roles and permissions. And as you know, MetaDB 1.4 includes more granular user permissions, so we can start using that. But there's a lot to consider. And just going back to also this community priorities dashboard, just to tie in with that, if you take a look at loan anonymization, for instance, in Folio and MetaDB, there's an interdependence that impacts both MetaDB and Folio when you're anonymizing data. So it's not just anonymizing the data in Folio, it's anonymizing data in MetaDB. So we can talk more about that. But I wanted to just let you know and remind you that we have this group forming. I have a few folks who've gotten back to me about participating. I wondered if there was anyone else I could add to this list for now so that we can start to put together our subgroup. And I see this as a time-limited set of meetings to identify priorities and then work with Product Council and Index Data, EBSCO, others, developers to meet those priorities. Yes, Jen.
I know that the larger privacy SIG is trying to restart. I think Jen Colt out of Cornell is trying to restart that. And I was
Yes.
wondering,
Yes. Yes.
is this group going to have any interaction with that group?
Yeah, I'm gonna talk with Jen about that. I'm actually just I was just looking at her calendar moments ago to talk with her about that because I think that that would be a good melding, if possible. But I want to talk with her about that first. So good thinking. and my thoughts precisely like perhaps we just bring this to the privacy group and start working there. So we have to make sure that that works, for the privacy group and their whatever they're working on. So. But I think it's all tied together, particularly since I believe after doing a lot of work just through Cornell on looking at data privacy for Folio and MetaDB, that the two are intertwined and that you really need to talk about them together if you want to take things in the right direction. But that's my personal soapbox. I have these folks who are interested so far. Is there anyone else who I should add to this list who is interested in working on this, prioritizing for your institution, helping to shape this, how anonymization, data privacy, security roles, all these things work for Folio with MetaDB. Okay, and please feel free to reach out to me or to Scott if you if you would like to be added to this list, and we'll start pulling that together, either as a separate group or we might just join the privacy SIG. We'll see how that takes shape. Okay, and let me introduce Joe and Dennis. Do we also have Dennis?
We do.
Oh, hi, Dennis,
Hi.
and hi, Joe. They are here from Acquisition SIG to give us a presentation on reporting in Folio Finance Apps and the acquisitions section of the LIS app so we can learn more about these areas of data delivery and reporting in Folio. So thank you very much. Really appreciate your joining us, and I'll give you the share.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's a pleasure. So I'm going to start with just sharing, covering over some of the areas of in-app reporting, I guess you may call it. So I want to show first, and some of you who are familiar with acquisitions are probably already tired of looking at these screens, so I apologize to you, but and probably tired of hearing me talk about them as well. But I'll start by reviewing the levels of the fund structure that exist in the finance application and some of the reporting functionality, or some of the functionality that you might consider reporting functionality in the finance application. And then I'll hand things over to Joe, to walk us through some of the functionality that's available in lists. And I guess I think what you'll see as some of the maybe enhanced, or more slightly more powerful in some cases functionality as it relates to reporting that lists delivers. So I'll open up the chat just so I'm not missing comments there as well. If you have comments as I'm going along, feel free. Hopefully the size of this is not ridiculous. Maybe resize
We
this
do have a
just a little
comment,
bit.
yeah, in the chat about can we
Ah,
make that bigger?
smart.
Yeah,
We can zoom.
maybe some
Yeah, sorry,
adjustment.
I'm on a very widescreen monitor, so usually this helps. Might take a second.
It's getting better. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully that's a bit more reasonable. Okay. So what you're looking at here is the actual budget. The structure of the finance application, I'm going to kind of assume that we have a base level of knowledge here, just in case. If you want to learn more about finance, feel free to pop into the acquisition SIG. There's a lot of documentation behind this little help icon as well that kind of explains the finance structure. But we are essentially at the bottom of the fund structure at this point, if you think of it as a hierarchy. And Folio is maybe a little bit more flexible than a rigid hierarchy that you might be used to seeing. But effectively, this is kind of the smallest level of aggregation of transaction information in the finance app. So, from a budget, which holds a certain amount of money for a given year for a specific fund. You see the financial activity associated with this budget. And from here, you can also see the specific transactions that have happened against this budget in the current fiscal year. Well, a budget represents a specific fiscal year. In this case, it's FY 2025 in this system. So all these transactions happened in 2025. Anything that is associated with this budget must be associated with 2025, basically. So a budget is a fund and a fiscal year combined. So you'll see there's allocation here. That's the beginning. Well, that's money coming into the fund. There are a number of different types of transactions. So you can see the specific transactions in this area. At the moment, there's no way to export these transactions from here. That is something that the community has desired for quite some time. We do have a feature that represents that. It hasn't yet been developed, but just so you're aware. So that maybe you could consider the absolutely most granular level of the finance application is all of these transactions that are happening. There are different types. There are allocations, transfers, payments, credits, and encumbrances. There's also a thing called a rollover transfer that is used to represent money moving from the one fiscal year to another fiscal year. So from one budget, like last year's budget, to this year's budget. Those things are identified as rollover transfers. Obviously, you don't have to do that. It's depends on the settings that you have. You may see if you've got your settings a certain way during rollover, you may see rollover transfers on budgets. But just looking at just wanted this as kind of a base, foundation for talking about the reporting functionality that we offer here in Folio. So the budget is what's showing the kind of current activity on the fund. But when you look at a fund record, so you could think of it as I've zoomed out now to the fund level. So we're now in the search interface where we have these tabs across the left in the search area. And we're at the bottom, essentially. We're looking at funds right now. Funds have budgets. It's possible that you would see budgets from previous years as well on this fund view. And you could click on those budgets from previous years and then actually look at the transactions for those budgets. So from the fund, when you're looking at a particular funded folio, you can see the current year, or you could look at previous, years and what has been spent in those previous years. From the fund level, we get into what you might consider more like reporting functionality. So outside of being able to see current activity at a high level, what's been allocated to this budget, what kind of transfers have been done, what money has been moved out of this budget or into this budget, what encumbrances have been made against this particular budget, what payments, what credits. You would see all of that here, like we just saw. But we can zoom up to what is called the group level. And a group is any, it's a way for you to associate a number of different funds. So it could be actually any of the funds in the system that you can associate together with a group. In this case, I've created, well, this is the Bugfest environment. So there's a history group here that relates a number of funds together. There are actually three funds that are associated with this group. But when you look at a group, you have to look at it in the context of a particular fiscal year. So we're looking at this group now, and we're looking at activity in this group for the fiscal year 2025. And because of that, we're seeing the numbers that we see here. So these numbers are the combination of all of the funds in this group for that fiscal year. So it's doing all of that summarization for us. All the values that you would see on a budget, encumbered, waiting payment, expended, credited, all that stuff is being totaled for the funds that are associated with this particular group for this fiscal year. So if these funds have activity against previous years, we could actually select fiscal year 24, 2023, 21, whatever years they had activity in would be an option here for us to look at. So because these particular funds that I've chosen in this environment have only been active in 2025, that's the only fiscal year option I have. So you can, of course, add and remove funds from the group, and that will affect the summary that you're seeing. This is a real-time summary. So whatever funds are associated with the group at a given time is the activity that you're seeing in this summary. It also shows the expense class information. Expense classes can be associated with budgets in Folio. So basically, they're a way of almost like tagging a transaction or the transactions that are happening. So if you've chosen the history fund to associate with one of your orders, if the history fund for that fiscal year has some expense classes associated with it, then you will need to choose an expense class as well. And then that expense class is related to the transaction that happens. So the payment or the credit or the encumbrance would be associated with that expense class as well. And activity is summarized for expense classes at the group level. This expense class might be associated with the history fund and the Afghan history fund. And if it was, the encumbered value that we're seeing here is what is encumbered for the entire group for this expense class. If we were looking specifically at the history fund, it may not be $12 encumbered. It may only be six, right? Because the history fund may not be the only fund using that expense class. So if we look at the history fund itself, the expense class is just showing us what that particular fund has spent associated with the electronic expense class. If we look at the group level, it is summarizing for that expense class across all of the funds that you have associated with this group. So hopefully that is communicating reasonably clearly that you could basically associate funds with groups, and you can look at the summary of activity for those funds within a given fiscal year. The unique thing about this is that all those funds don't have to be on one ledger. So as we go up to the next level, see ledger is the next level of the hierarchy. But the unique thing about groups is you could actually relate, or you can add funds to a group that are part of different ledgers. So it gives you a level of sort a way of kind of circling a cross section of funds and seeing a summary that you might not be able to see at the ledger level, because at the ledger level, you're only looking at funds that are related to that specific ledger. Funds can only be related to one ledger. They cannot be, they can't appear on more than one ledger. So the group gives you that kind of power to be able to say, okay, well, I have funds on my gifts, endowments ledger, and I also have funds on my whatever other ledger that I want to relate together. Just see what the summary of activity is for those things. And you can create an infinite number of groups, and you can add or remove funds from groups, very easily at any time that you want, as long as you have permission to use that layer of the fund structure. Okay. The ledger, I'm not going to go over the summary again, but just to say that the numbers that you see at the ledger level are obviously the summary of all of the funds that are assigned to this ledger. So a fund must be part of one ledger. It must be created within a ledger. And when you look at the ledger level, you're seeing the summary of activity for all funds on that ledger. Again, in this view, you're seeing it for the current fiscal year. So we do have a feature that kind of outlines being able to select fiscal year here. A lot of folks want to be able to see that. So you could pick a previous year and just update the numbers here. So you could see at this level the current year or any of your previous years really quickly. That hasn't been developed yet. So at the moment, this view gives you just the numbers for the current fiscal year. The ledger does have some other really interesting functionality or powerful functionality as it pertains to reporting. You can export all of the fund information for a ledger to CSV. So from this level of the fund structure, when you're looking at a ledger, you can get a CSV file that includes all of the data that we've looked at so far. It will be the ledger, any group associations that a fund may have, all of the funds, and all of the expense classes for those funds. So it is like the export of the entire fund structure from the most granular perspective, and contains all of that information. So if you want to get a CSV file of all of that stuff and, maybe run some macros or whatever you need to do in Excel, you can do that. So this is where that export happens. You must export for a given fiscal year. So it's going to ask you to pick a fiscal year. You can't, unfortunately, you can't say, give me the numbers for the last 5 years or something like that. You can just say, give me numbers for a specific year. And then you can choose whether you see all expense classes in that file, or you just see maybe active ones. If you only want numbers, based on what's actively being used in this particular fiscal year. So a little bit of flexibility here, not a ton. And from a technical perspective, this is not the most performant way of getting data out of Folio. This is a very old feature at this point. It was built just using the UI. So when I click export here, This is a really tiny ledger, so don't let that fool you. It may not be this quick if you use it in your own system. But yeah, it's getting the UI is actually getting all that data from the back end and building the CSV file for you. So if you have that export running and you leave this page, you go somewhere else, the export will stop. So there are some limitations to this export. Ideally, at some point, there would be much better options than using this, but it's a quick one and it may be giving you exactly what you want. So next step here of the fund structure is the fiscal year. So you can, of course, go to the what you might consider the highest level and see that same summary. So for in this case, at the fiscal year, you could have more than one ledger that actually relates to this fiscal year if you want to break up ledgers. And Folio tries not to be very prescriptive in that way. If you want to have, you want to run your system with multiple ledgers, you can absolutely do that. You may have different fiscal year series if you have like a international campus or something that has a different fiscal year period. You may actually have different fiscal year series in your system. And of course, that would split things at this top level here. But in general, you can look at all the fiscal years in your system and see a summary of activity for the entire fiscal year. So this may include more than one ledger. And in Bugfest here, obviously, you can see there are many ledgers. A lot of them don't make sense because it's test data, but you'll see the ledgers. And you'll see any of the groups that are associated with any of the funds that are related to this fiscal year. So again, groups can kind of appear everywhere because they could be related to, they're much more flexible than this. But you'll see that group in the context of this fiscal year. So these numbers are not the full representation of that group necessarily. They are the representation of that group for this fiscal year. If that makes sense. And then the funds are likewise. So all the numbers you're seeing here are specific to fiscal year 2025. Okay. One other thing I wanted to point out before we move on to maybe more interesting things is in settings, you can actually do a couple of exports. You can export the combination of fund and expense class code. This is probably not reporting functionality, but it is a way to get data out of the system I thought might be relevant here. This export basically allows you to, for a given fiscal year, get a list of the valid codes, essentially. Because if you have a fund and expense class combination that isn't, active in this fiscal year or something, the code wouldn't be valid. So let's say your fund is HIST. The fund code is HIST, HIST, like history fund code. And the expense class is ELC, electronic, like we saw there. That relationship you can export from here. So you would see that HIST and ELC is actually a valid code for FY25. For a previous year, they might not have had that association, which means, if you're trying to create orders from some external system or with some kind of helper app or something like that, it might be really helpful to be able to get the list of relevant codes for a given fiscal year easily. Anyway, that's why it's here. The other thing I wanted to point out, we won't talk much about orders, but when it comes to reporting functionality or reporting related functionality in the acquisitions applications, these exports are probably the most relevant bit of functionality. So you have CSV exports in the orders application in the receiving area. So if you go to the receiving UI, I can maybe point that out as well. So orders app, once we've done a search and we have results in the second pane, we can export to CSV. And you can either choose to take all fields from the various levels of the purchase order and purchase order lines, or you can pick and choose. So if you only want to see certain fields in your export, you can do that. This pattern is used in all of the applications in acquisition. So orders, receiving, invoices, organization records, if you want to export your organization records. Similar pattern. You can choose the individual fields. Unfortunately, you can't set up templates. That's something that's been talked about a lot recently. Like every time you open this modal, you must choose the specific fields. Of course, the other option would be export all and then just delete columns from your CSV file. But a lot of users have mentioned that it would be nice to be able to have like that combinations of fields because a lot of folks do the same export, fairly frequently. At the moment, that's not possible. But it will give you all of the data that is currently in the result list. So this could be showing 1 to 50. You could have 20,000 orders here, actually. It's going to export all 20,000 orders. It's going to export all of the results that were found for your search based on that criteria. So you'll have the same functionality here. Let's say we do, yeah, we've got open orders. So we want to export the CSV. The same idea here, but for pieces, so receiving objects, you can export. And then at the invoice, let's say we want approved. Hopefully there's some approved invoices in here. Yes, indeed. Export to CSV, same pattern. So it's going to give you just invoice data. One of the drawbacks here is that when you do that export, you are only getting fields that are stored in that record, right? So when you export invoices, for example, you are not going to get along with that order field data. So, and vice versa, when you're exporting orders, there are associations obviously between those two types of records, right? There's a relationship and it's very clear in the UI, this POL is related to this. But you'll find there's really limited data that's available in the invoice export from orders and vice versa. There's very limited amount because we've done that on purpose. We don't want to store data from opposite records in those, in multiple places. So in general, we avoid the duplication of data, which limits your what you can export. And I think that is where I'll pass things over to Joe because the List app ultimately offers more flexibility, in particular in that regard, but in some other ways as well. So, Joe, hopefully you're ready to get into the List app.
I think so. I'm about as ready as I'll ever be. Let me share my
Awesome.
screen. I was going to show some cool stuff, but things kind of went kerblooey. So I'm going to have to pivot a little bit. I'll talk about what we're working on, but I think I'll walk through a little bit and show various stages of what you can do where. So I'm logged into the, here I'm logged into the Ramsons Bugfest environment, which is, I think, most of you are either on Quisnelia or Ramsons. So when you move to Ramsons, this is what you have to look forward to within the Lists app. And currently in Ramsons, the Lists app supports a number of basic types, so holdings, instances, items, loans, organizations, and purchase order lines. And for acquisitions purposes, really, organizations and purchase order lines are the two areas of interest. So I'll just show you very quickly what that would look like. So do sample order list. And then, so you have to give it a name. You have to give it a record type. I don't know how familiar you are with the Lists app. However, given that this is the reporting SIG, I have to think that many of you will have at least dabbled with it a little bit. So I'm not going to get too explainy unless you want me to. And if you do want me to slow down and clarify what I'm doing, then I will be happy to do that.
But again, let's just check in on, thank you, Joe. Do folks want kind of the more explainy version or maybe you could put your hand up or something if you want more explainy, or if you want to just have the high level that Joe's jumping into. Okay, it looks like people want the high level, so
okay.
Thanks.
Okay, so the Ramsons, so the Ramsons is fairly straightforward. This is straight up Boolean searching, and you'll notice as we go along that things will, additional stuff gets added from release to release. So when we're looking at the purchase order line, we're also looking at a couple of related record types. So in this case, we've got exchange rate information, we've got purchase order information, we've got purchase order line information. There's a million fields. And then we've got vendor information, because you really need to have all of those when looking at purchase orders and purchase order lines. So what I can do is I can do, for instance, a purchase order type and then a Boolean operator. So I can specifically look for null if I'm looking for anything with blank. In this case, just for argument's sake, I'm going to do ongoing orders. I do want to highlight there is an in and not in operator. And what in does is it allows you to enter a list of values. So as long as, if I do in ongoing and one time, then it will look for an order type for all orders that are ongoing or one time. Given that those are the only types, then that doesn't make a lot of sense. But this would be how you would select any one of a number of elements. But in this case, because it's one of two, I'm just going to do ongoing. I like to test my queries as I go along just to make sure I'm getting good data. So here's a list of all of my orders. And we've got a number of pending. So then I'm going to add, and we'll do purchase order, workflow status. We'll add open, because 25,162 is a lot. So let's see how many open ones we have. And now we have only 214. So this just gives me a list of all ongoing open purchase orders and purchase order lines within the system. And then from in here, we can define what columns we want to display. So I don't necessarily need to show that it's approved. But I do want to know the PO number. Let's keep the date. And then I can add, for instance, a purchase order line description, or I can do, let's see, order format. Let's add fund distribution. And we'll do cost estimated, PO line estimated price. So those are the fields that I want to show. And now we can see various information, including percentage distributions and what the estimated prices are. And I can run this query and save. And from here, using that estimated PO line, I can get a list of, just get an output of all of my orders in a certain status and output that. So we've run this. It initially shows there are no records found, but now that this is run, it shows the refresh is complete with 214, and I can load that list here. Then from the actions menu, I can change the columns that I want to show. I don't really want the UUID. And then from here, I can refresh the list. I can edit the list, duplicate the list. And then I can export selected columns or all columns in CSV format. Then, and that with the exporting the selected columns, then you can put it into Excel and do whatever slicing and dicing you want. And because we are getting line price costs as well as distribution percentages, you can then get things like totals and so on and so forth. So that is a brief overview of the order line list in Ramsons, which gives you a little bit of financial visibility because you can look at those estimated costs and look at the PO and PO line levels. Now let's fast forward a release at the Sunflower. I had just logged into this. Okay. So, lists app in Sunflower, we've added a few more things. So looking at record types is just a great way of looking at the various types of information you can get. So in Ramsons record types, we have this initial shortlist. Sunflower, you can see we've expanded it. So now we've got budgets, funds with ledgers, invoice lines, invoices, purchase order lines, but now we've added purchase order lines with titles so we can bring in some instance information, which will allow you, for instance, to look at purchase order lines with, for instance, of a specific format. So if you're just looking for DVDs, you can do that purchase order line request here in the Lists app in Sunflower. I'm not going to go through and recreate the whole list again unless you really want me to. But as you can see, it's been expanded. We also are starting to add transaction visibility. So I am going to go in and click New. And I'll give it a sample transaction. And we will show transaction lists. And this is still very early on in its development because we're right now we're just profiling all the data we can. So looking at the transactions, you can look at the amount, the created date, the currency, the description, encumbrance information, and then fund information. So beginning in Sunflower, you can go all the way into that transactional information, but you do have to kind of do deep dives in here. And I'm having difficulty coming up with a transaction on the fly. But yes, you could look, you know, within a specific fiscal year from specific funds, lists of all the transactions. So that is coming, or that is in the Sunflower release. And then what we're working on in the, for the, excuse me, Trillium release, which I wanted to show you today and it went kerblooey when I tried to do it, is we have added one additional record type, which is order invoice analysis. And right now it doesn't show anything, but if I create that, building this query, we have added the PO related fiscal years. And right now, if I try to run this, it's going to throw out an error. But the idea behind this, and it was working last week, the idea behind this is it will allow you to look at POs with associated invoices across multiple fiscal years. The idea being, I have an ongoing order, I have a paid invoice from last year, but I don't have an invoice from this year. But I need to get an idea of what I'm going to need to pay this year so you can project what your costs are going to be for unencumbered ongoing orders. And that's really what this is about, is to look at the associations between orders and invoices and funds that have been funds that have already been allocated and funds that you need to pay out. And as we look through here, we have added a lot of data to this. So we've got the related fiscal years, acquisition units, all of the existing PO line stuff we discussed before, but we added instanced information. So catalog date, whether it's flagged for deletion, formats, index titles, mode of issuance, source updated, associated invoice information so you can look for specific vendors, specific invoice statuses, all this stuff, just to give you a good overview of what you've got going on and what you can expect to have to pay in the future. So that is the dime tour of what we've been working on with regard to the Lists app and how acquisitions reporting will happen in the Lists app. We're continually working to improve this. And I think, based on what the Lists app can do, a lot of our ongoing development is going to be in this area as well. So with that, I will open things up for any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Joe. Looks like Katie.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Going back, I believe it was the Sunflower release, and you were in the query builder and looking at fund, and I just noticed that some of the fund field names were like to from. Yeah, it's just kind of wondering what that meant.
Looking for funds, a
They
fund of
might be
budget.
the transfers that you can do from fund to fund.
Yeah. Oh, so looking at transactions,
Oh.
yes. So build query. Yeah, to fund and from fund.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
Thank you.
that because it's for transactions, it would be looking at the source fund and the Additionally, you can look at the record type fund, which just contains fund information, but does not actually contain any dollar amounts. It just contains information about the fund.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you. It looks like Joshua has a question.
Is the Lists app, can you get the same CSV files from API calls?
Yes, it's all built on FQM. So you can use the FQM API calls to get the same data as in the Lists app. I haven't done it personally. There may actually be additional API calls that are supported that have not been implemented in the front end. I don't know. I know that used to be the case, and I believe is the case in Ramsons, but I don't know if they closed that gap in Sunflower.
Okay, thank you.
But you can absolutely use FQM to build your own custom dashboards. That is absolutely on the table.
And that's fully documented in like the API documentation or somewhere else?
I want to say yes, but I don't know 100% for sure. That's handled by a different team, but I believe they do have it pretty well documented.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thanks, Corey. Corey says it is documented and she's looking for the link. And Corey would know. Okay. If there are no further questions, I'm going to go ahead and stop my share and pass the baton back to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was very interesting. Thanks to both of you for filling us in on all things finance and all different ways of looking at stuff and sneak previews as well. We really appreciate that. Are there any other questions for the group that the group has, or comments or follow up? Okay. All right. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. All right. So that wraps it up for today, and we'll see you at the next reporting SIG meeting. So thanks again to our presenters, and thanks everybody for attending today. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks all. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.